Let's start off with this idea of good work. What is good work, and what role does it play in a just transition?
It's something that we've been asking ourselves too, ever since the organization, I think, came into existence, right? Like, how do we look at our work really as an extension of our lives, right? And so not just the work that we do for money, but like all of us, we do so much, right? We work in so many ways. We work as parents, we work as community members, as volunteers, and yes, we also work at times for money, but like, how can our work really be regenerative, life-affirming, rewarding, giving back? How can it be all those things? And the belief that if it is all those things, well, that's probably not just good for us. It's probably good for the world, right? Like that actually starts to look and feel, we think, like good work, you know?
And I'll add to that, like what Michael just shared, it's so true for us as individuals, right? Just as we show up in life and as we manage these gifts called our lives, right? But it also manifests in terms of the world, our collective world, the world that we share. And so I know when I think of good work, and I think, in the conversations we have within GWI, we see the place where good work ultimately manifesting is in communities and everything that we would want for ourselves in terms of having lives that, are full of vitality and having personal lives that are regenerative and whatnot. We want that in our communities too.
So what does the Good Work Institute do to support a just transition?
Well, we do a lot of different things. One of the main things we do is provide a number of offerings that convene people to go on what we call a co-learning journey. We consider ourselves co-learners. We're not the experts, but along with us, the folks who come to our offerings, we seek to provide an opportunity for us all to learn more about the Just Transition framework, which is captured by guiding principles. And those five guiding principles are, good work is work that advances ecological restoration, drives racial justice and social equity, democratizes wealth, community, and the workplace, retains and restores life-affirming traditions and cultures, and relocalizes most production and consumption. So we offer, I wouldn't even say that they're just workshops. We offer different ways for folks to gather to explore those concepts and to look at ways in which we can weave those principles and the action behind those principles into our lives and good work. Again, whether it's our paid work or just the different ways we show up in life. And ultimately, we're about helping people get together and form meaningful relationships so that, again, collectively, we can have an impact and build up some collective power to create the kinds of changes we need to make in our society.
So, with that kind of framework in mind, when you envision a green recovery for the Hudson Valley region, what does that look like?
It's a good question. I'm going to build off of those principles that Terry just offered us, right? That it's most easy to align that with this concept of advancing ecological restoration, right? If we do that, great. But really, what we like to kind of bring to the table is how these principles are fundamentally intertwined, and how we want to resist pulling them apart a little bit. Doesn't mean that an organization may not have a stronger focus, may not have more knowledge in that area of advancing ecological restoration. But for us, the way to really get to that place that you just talked about, Guy, is that it's all of those things. So we're advancing ecological restoration while we're also considering, well, who's impacted by this? How are we actually driving forward racial justice and social equity, right? And like, what are the wisdoms traditions that we've lost, that we've left behind? How can they inform us? They're part of the DNA of our place. They're part of the DNA of us. Like, how are these things actually manifesting and coming forward? And that we know that we can only really achieve this if we're also like rethinking how it is that we are in relationship to each other. Hence the democratizing our communities, our wealth, our workplace, right? That like, there's a power shift that would have to happen, right, in order for all this to happen. It's not just about the advancing ecological restoration, because that by itself doesn't get us there. It's all these other pieces, as well as relocalizing most of our production and consumption. So it's this way of this framework, this just transition framework, is a way of saying humans are always in a moment of transition. Like, how are we actually going to make it just this time, right? Because if it's not just, it's not going to last. It's not going to fall apart. We'll continue to see the extractive nature of things that humans have been involved in for a good while now. Like, we're going to continue to see that moving forward if we're not willing to also examine, well, like, what's underneath that? What's the underpinnings? Maybe this is a good moment to mention that Terry and I, we are both worker trustees, and it's because we're a worker self-directed nonprofit. So for us, we've had to look at these principles and say, how do our values align with that? How are we holding them up as an organization? So we've done this deep work. We're constantly doing this deep work to transform our own relationship with power. So to really bring about these ideas, these new ways of being, to see something greener and more sustainable happening in our communities is huge. It's important to all of us. And let's not act like it's happens in isolation from these other things, you know?
Well, so I just want to jump in there and say, like, when I think of that question, like, the hook for me is like, what does it look like, you know? And literally, I mean, Mike has shared with our team that he's not a visual thinker, which I find so fascinating because he's actually an artist, you know, but he's owned it and he shared that with us. But like, literally, when I heard that word, like, in my mind, like, I just like started seeing a picture, you know, and it was a picture of how do I capture it? One, like, just when I looked at our planet and our shared home, it was healthy. You know, there's beautiful, like, biodiversity going on, and truly ecological restoration is happening, you know, just different ecosystems are being restored. And I'm just seeing that in terms of a planet that is breathing again and nourished and replenished and is functioning within the cycles that it is capable of functioning within when we don't disrupt them, right? So I see that, you know, I see like food justice happening, you know, like folks, good quality, healthy, again, life-giving foods are available to everyone, you know, like especially here in our region, you know, we have a plenty in terms of like farming and the agricultural industry that's here. And just like folks have access to foods, folks have access to public space and land, you know, folks are employed in work that is sustaining both physically and spiritually, you know, getting paid fair wages and doing work that doesn't harm each other or our planet, you know. So overall, like, what I see is a lot of aliveness and a lot of collaboration, a lot of cooperation, a lot of mutual respect, and a lot of dignity being upheld for us as people, other living beings, and, you know, our shared home.
With all this reflexivity and, you know, working to create this new kind of structure in your organization, I want to ask if there's lessons there that have helped you to think about just transition in this area.
Oh, I don't know if you got time. I found myself saying this a lot lately that, you know, we as humans, we spend a lot of time working, right? Like, a lot of our waking hours spent working. What's been really amazing is transforming how we work has not just transformed how we work or how I show up at work. It's transformed me. And then once that happened, I was like, oh, like, why wouldn't we want all this time that we've spent working to also be personally transformative? Which it has been for, you know, for me, and I think I can speak for all of us. It's been this. And so there's a deep lesson there in terms of, and I'll just speak personally, how I show up in a space. How am I making room for others? And at the same time, how am I standing in who I am? How am I offering that? How am I being in tune with my own needs? How am I being in tune with the needs of others? All of this work is, it's obviously it's been important with how we are as an organization, but I think it's transcended that. It's now it's become an expression of what does GWI show up in the world, but it's also about how am I showing up, right? All these things. And I've been making space for, and maybe the most rewarding part about that is we're hearing echo back. How other people in our other organizations are like, okay, wait, tell me about the shared leadership thing, right? Like, how do we do that? Because the hierarchical systems that we exist in, they're so prevalent. You know, I wouldn't fault anybody for not knowing how to change that, or even thinking that it's not possible, because it's just so prevalent. And so this work, it's not only begins to maybe dismantle that and, you know, the sharing power, all those things, but it's also, I think, played this really important role in opening up a sense of possibility, right? Well, if it's possible to change hierarchy, if it's possible to change how we show up with each other, how we treat each other, right? Like, it's almost hard to bring you in this little moment with just how human it feels, right, to show up with each other. But if it's possible to change all that, well, all right. Well, maybe it's possible to change everything, you know?